Let's begin. Okay, hi everybody. Welcome and thank you for coming. This is a shiur that I will give in any case on before Purim, wherever I am, even when not learning Avelot in general, but specifically this year it works very, very well, given that we are studying Avelot. And although most people, unless they've heard the shiur, would not assume that you can access the very heart and nature and essence of Purim by learning the sugya of Avelot on Purim, we are hopefully going to demonstrate otherwise. This is the way it's going to work. I'm going to ask a number of questions about the halachot of Purim in general, and then we're going to focus the most of our attention about asking a question on a very confusing psak position of the Shulchan Aruch with regards to Avelot and Aninut, concepts which we've learned about, on Purim. I always like to start this shiur as follows, okay? Hopefully this will change our whole understanding of the nature of the festival of the Purim. And if any of you have read Nietzsche, as you call him, as part of your your readings, but Nietzsche was a very fun writer, very aggressive writer, German philosopher. And at the start of one of his essays, he's got a line which is an extremely difficult line to understand, and he says, "And that's all there is to it. That's the whole argument. But unfortunately, all of you, dear readers, are stupid and unable to understand that. So I guess I've got to, start at the beginning." And then right at the end of this like 60-page essay, he then repeats exactly the same line, and now it makes perfect sense, right? So I'm going to try the same thing, not through a certain line, but I'm going to try something with, this will be hard for you to take notes on, Stephen, and definitely hard for somebody listening to the recording, with sort of like an emoticon. If all other chagim of the year are this, then Purim is this. If all other chagim of the year are this, Purim is this. Let's begin. So, tzedakah on Purim, matanot le'avyonim. You know I'm more passionate about it. Here are the cards. Everybody, tell everybody about it and give your donations. But let's actually learn the sugya. We're going to ask a few questions on Manishtana. Right, Manishtana, how is Purim different in various ways and aspects from what we would expect given our knowledge of Chagim or just general Jewish life throughout the year? There's a mitzvah of matanot le'avyonim on Purim. But couldn't you say, wait a second, there's a mitzvah of tzedakah in general, and I'm always supposed to give tzedakah, right? So what's the difference? I'm supposed to give tzedakah today, I'm supposed to give tzedakah tomorrow, I'm supposed to give tzedakah on Purim. So what does Matanot Levyonim have to it? Well, when we actually examine it, Matanot Levyonim has got a number of unique characteristics. Here is the Shulchan Aruch, quoting almost directly from the Yerushalmi. Ein medaktikin b'malat Purim. We don't discriminate, we don't do checks with regards to the monies that we distribute on Purim. Anybody who sticks out their hand to give, we give to them. Right? Why is this interesting? Because tzedakah, as we know it, has something that defines it called aniye irecha kodem, the poor of your own city come first. There's an order in which we are supposed to give out things. Who is in most need? Could be a geographical need, could be it, in a different way from geographical. But for that reason, even if there's something terrible happening far overseas, which arouses our indignation, our emotion, nevertheless, if you don't support the Jewish old age home down the road, who's going to? That is the mitzvah of tzedakah throughout the year. However, on Purim, whoever asks, we give to them. More than that, everyone knows there's a 10% minimum for tzedakah, but there's also an upper limit. You're not supposed to give more than, anybody know? More than a fifth. On Purim, kol mi shepochet yadolitol, anybody who asks to give, not nimlo, we give to them, right? There's no upper limit whatsoever. So, first question, why is matanot levyonim on Purim different from tzedakah throughout the year in terms of who we give to? We give to absolutely anybody. The Shulchan Aruch finishes off, u'makom shenahagu liten af le'eno Yisrael not nim. We give to non-Jews as well in the place where that's the custom. And why is there no upper limit? That's question number one. Question number two is a sugya called makdimin. Makdimin is as follows. There is a preference to read the Megillah b'tzibur with the community there. However, if you lived in a small hamlet, a small village back in the day, then there may well not be any minyan available, except on market days, which traditionally were Mondays and Thursdays, right? And so the question was, what date is Purim? The
12th or 15th.
Ah, you've already got the answer. 14th of Adar. So the question is, if 14th of Adar happens to be on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Friday, then when should I do the Megillah? Should I do it before or should I do it afterwards? Here's the Gemara in Megillah, source number 2. Ezahi Il Gedola, what is considered to be a big city? Everybody, we're about to learn some wonderful social history. Kol Shiyesh Ba Asara Batlanim. People know what Batlanim are?
We learned this phrase from Rabbi Schiffman.
Oh.
That waste their time.
Batlanim is a beautiful, deeply cherished Jewish concept, which loosely translates as bums, right? A place where 10 men are employed to sit around, and whenever anybody needs a minyan, there, it's there, right? That is considered to be Il Gedola. Yup, you know, before capitalism came and ruined everything and told us that it's all about, work as hard as you can. It's true, absolutely, right? New York is not Il Gedola, according to, or at least downtown.
I'm sure there are 10 Batlanim. Right?
It's nice, right? I don't know about it. In America, I don't know what the definition of a city is. In the UK, the definition of a city is a place which has a cathedral, right? So, in the UK as well, it's also got a religious definition for a city. Of course, ours is much more Haimish much true. Anyway, place which has Asara Batlanim, that's a city. Pachot Mikan, any less than this, Hare Ze Kfar, that's considered to be a village. But Elu Amru, about these places, it was said, Makdimin V'lo Ma'achrin, we push the reading of the Megillah earlier, we don't push it later. So if the 14th of Adar falls out on a Tuesday,
read it on the Monday.
If the 14th of Adar falls out on a Wednesday, read it on a Monday. If the 14th of Adar falls out on a Friday,
Thursday.
Read it on the Thursday, etc., etc. Makdimin v'lom ma'ach. However, there are certain other times of the year when one would also want a kehillah to be there. Zmanat se kohanim, back in the days, the kohanim who were going to be on the rota for the Bet HaMikdash would go out and gather the logs, the trees. V'tisha ba'av, presumably referring to the reading of Megillat Eicha. V'chagiga, the Chagiga celebration. V'hakel, once every 7 years, the people would come together for the reading of portions from Devarim. About these, if you live in a small village, and you can only get a minyan on Monday and Thursday, ma'achrin v'lo makdimin. We push it later, we push it rather than pushing it earlier. So if Tisha B'Av falls on a Tuesday, you read Megillat Eicha on
Thursday.
Exactly. Etc., etc. Why? Da'akati lomata zman chiyuvayhu. Because the time of their obligation has not yet arrived. Meaning, there is no significance to doing hakel on the day before the date that hakel is due, because it doesn't have any significance. You're just reading parts from Devarim. Better to do something late, fulfill an obligation late, rather than do it early, when the obligation doesn't exist yet. Now I'm going to give a better example of it. A baby boy is jaundiced, say. Of course you don't do Brit Milah in a case where it could be dangerous. So you do Milah Shalobis Mana, you lighten it, right? You do it on the ninth day, you do it 6 weeks. What about a baby boy who has Brit Milah on the seventh day? Nothing doing. That's not Brit Milah, right? Child would have to have Atifat Dam once again, would have to have blood taken from them. There was I do not have time to go into this, but there was a case a number of years ago in Israel where there was the potential for thousands of Hasidim might have had to have Brit Milah once again, based on Machloket Rabbeinu Tam and the Vilna Gaon, as to when Shkia is and to what day they were born on. And it came out in Rabbi Yashiv's name that anybody who was, etc., etc., I'll explain it to you afterwards. Fulfillment of a mitzvah before it's time for the mitzvah is not the mitzvah, right? Brit Milah is from the eighth day, ideally, and then onwards. Before the eighth day has zero significance. Okay, makes a lot of sense. Except that, what question does it raise, Pinchas?
I mean, why is Megillah the other way around?
Yofi, it's such a good reason as to why we delay Tisha B'Av, why we delay Chagiga Hakel. Why doesn't it then apply to Purim, right? How can we push Purim, push Mikra Megillah earlier? So, question one, why is Matanot Levionim different in the ways that it is on Purim than Tzedakah throughout the year? Question two, why is the reading of the Megillah pushed earlier, whereas other circumstances when one would want a Minyan throughout the year are pushed later? Okay, now we can get into the Sugya of Avelut. What we are going to look at is the position of the Shulchan Aruch on the topics of Aninut and Avelut. People remember what these are?
Yeah.
Aninut is before burial, and what are the practices of Aninut?
No mitzvot.
No positive mitzvot, and what else? Sorry?
No, you can't eat
meat. Basar v'yayin, exactly. No meat, no wine. You can't eat dam anytime. Well pointed out. What does Avelut refer to, other than just the general?
Kriya.
Shiva. Right. The week of Shiva. So what we're going to look at is the position of the Shulchan Aruch with regards to Aninut and Avelut on other festivals, and Aninut and Avelut on Purim. Now's the bit where you need to engage your minds, okay? Here is the Gemara in Moed Katan, Daf Yud Daled Amud Bet. Very important Gemara for, really, Avelut in general, certainly for Chagim. Avel eino noheg Aveluto beregel. An Avel, a person in mourning during their week of Shiva, does not observe their Avelut on a festival. Shene emal, v'samachta b'chagecha, you shall rejoice on your festival. I Avelut d'mi'ikarahu, if one is already sitting Shiva, right, one becomes an Avel in the week before a Chag. Ati ase derabim v'dachi ase diyachid, the communal ase, positive commandment, arrives and pushes off, is doche, the individual obligation of Avelut, of sitting Shiva. It ends it, right? One's been sitting Shiva for 3 days and Pesach arrives, Shiva is over. One's been sitting Shiva for an hour and a Chag arrives, Shiva is over. Ve'i Avelut dahashtahu, and if one becomes bereaved on the festival, lo ati ase diyachid v'dache ase derabim, the individual command to be an Avel, to sit Shiva, does not push off the communal command to observe the festival, and the shift, the start of the Shiva, would be delayed until after the festival. Right? That is the case even if somebody passes away on, say, the first day of Sukkot, or even on Erev Sukkot, but there's no time to burial, there's no time to sit Shiva before the Chag begins, the Shiva would only start 8 days later. Okay? What seems to be at the heart of this Gemara? Oh, so leaving aside Ma'achar and moving on from that, what is the nature of the relationship between Simchat HaChag and Avelut? Why does it, so there's the Aseh and the Yachid and Rabim element. Chag trumps. They contradict one another. They are fundamentally incompatible with one another. Trump, very good, right? Avelut cannot exist with Simchat HaChag. Right, everyone see the idea there? They are clearly opposites of one another. Right? Ati asei derabim v'dachi asei diyachad. That is what the Samachta b'chagecha does. And I didn't put the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, but that's exactly how the Shulchan Aruch passes. That is the case with regards to Pesach, with regards to Sukkot, with regards to Shavuot, with regards to Rosh Hashanah, with regards to Yom Kippur. What about Purim? Here's the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim, source number 4. Kol divrei avelut nohagim b'chanukah v'purim. Everything that we've said until now does not apply to Chanukah and Purim. On Purim, chas v'shalom, but if it were to be that one was sitting Shiva in the week before Purim, Shiva carries on. If one were to become an Avel on Purim, seemingly Shiva would start. Thoughts? Why?
I mean, it's not a chag at all. First of all, it's Darabana, and second of all, we explained beforehand that the concept of pushing off of chag and Avelut being diametrically opposed had to do with, I believe, Karbanot and coming and like Shalosh Regalim coming to the Beis Hamikdash and things like that. So Chanukah and Purim, which don't have that, we would have no reason to push off.
Okay. Yeah, fair. Anybody else?
I would say one of the two big things about Chanukah and Purim is presumably Yisuf.
have the idea of Prisma Nims of Light, and there's Megillah, it's supposed to be for all. Like, that's the one thing you give up everything to hear Megillah because of Prisma Nisa, so mm-hmm. that could possibly be a thing. But that doesn't help me at all, because that would contradict it.
Seemingly, the basic...
You would think Prisma Nisa would then say, okay, if these are two big things of Prisma Nisa, then your morning would be blah, and you go do everything, but mm-hmm. no.
Maybe yep. because Chagim and Avelut are Mina Torah, whereas, well, obviously the quote at the top of the page says that based on the Mala with Maskim, still the Hanukkah and Purim are Darabanan at their essence. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we wouldn't push off the rice for that.
That was along the lines of what Pinchas suggested at the start, and seems to make a lot of sense.
Hashem is Mekadesh, the Chagim, like, of Regalim, but we're Mekadesh, Purim and Hanukkah.
Ah.
Like, the Kedusha comes from Hashem on Chagim.
According to davening, we're Mekadesh the Regalim also.
But I think it's half and half. Hatzilah, Hatzilah.
Hold that idea.
Also, we're supposed to be happy, it's not the Chag
So Donnie's basically given the svara to what Pinchas and Noah said, which is that the samachta b'chagecha, rejoicing on the chag, is d'oraita on biblical festivals. Presumably it's not d'oraita on Purim and Hanukkah, given that they are d'rabbanan, given that they are post-biblical. And therefore, the strength of the command to celebrate on Purim and Hanukkah is not so strong as it is on other chagim, and therefore it's not push off Avelut. That's very simple. That's the most straightforward idea. Right. However, in a minute it's going to become more complicated. Let's look at Aninut. B'Shabbat v'Yom Tov, right? This is the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, but this is the Shulchan Aruch's Psak based on it, right? The Gemara is source number 7, but we'll read source number 5. B'Shabbat v'Yom Tov, Ochel Basar v'Shote Yain. If one isn't on in on Shabbat, one can eat meat, one can drink wine. Umavarech, make blessings. V'chayav b'chol ha-mitzvot. In other words, what do we seem to be saying?
Morning stops.
No aninut on Shabbat. No aninut on Yom Tov. Seemingly in a similar way to what we just said about Avelut. However, im tzarich lahachshich al atchum. People remember that phrase? Lahachshich al atchum. Right, there's tchum Shabbat. We don't leave the boundaries of the town, of the city, by more than a certain distance. However, there's a special dispensation that in the case of Avelut, one can begin walking towards the end of the Tchum, end of the boundary, whilst it is still Shabbat, arriving there as Shabbat goes out, and then be better able to alert family, to tell the Chevra Kedisha, whatever it is. Kedei la'asok b'tzarchei ha'met. If one begins to do that. In other words, on Shabbat or on Yom Tov, one already begins to be involved in the elements to do with the burial. Chal alav aninut. Do you know what chal means?
It falls upon you.
Falls upon. Not bad. Right? Mordechai Friedman, Shan Aleph, Ram at Gush, always used to say, if you learn one word from me this year, let it be chal. Right? Chal. Halachic infusion of a new halachic status, right? New halachic reality. Chal alav aninut, the person becomes an onin. Le'esor b'kulan, no meat, no wine. Misha shematchil alechet, from the moment he begins to walk, le'lachshich al atchum. What about certain elements of Yom Tov? Ve'im rotzeh likboro b'yom tov rishon al yedei amamim. If one wants to bury the dead using Gentile help on Yom Tov Rishon, as is allowed. Asur b'kulam, then aninut begins on Yom Tov as well. B'kol shekein, how much more so be Yom Tov Sheni, on second day of Yom Tov. Shehu ba'atzmo, when Jews as well, yochol l'kavro, are able to bury their distich. Shechalu alav kol dinei alavelu, aninut. So if I ask the question now, is there a fundamental contradiction between aninut and Yom Tov? What would you say? No. Rather, what's the nature of the interaction? Technical.
So it goes back to Yachid Rabin, like, if you want to do it by yourself.
How is it Yachid Rabin? What seems to be the thing preventing the practice of Aninut on Shabbat or Yom Tov?
The fact that you can't bury on Shabbat.
Exactly. Meaning what seems to come out of this is that aninut stems from osek b'tzarchei kvura, from being engaged with the needs of the burial. Therefore, if one can't be engaged with the needs of the burial, then one isn't an onen. However, if one can be engaged with the needs of the burial, then the two can exist. So at this stage, it appears that aninut and Shabbat and Yom Tov normally won't exist together, but in theory they can exist with one another. There is not a fundamental contradiction between the two and the way there is between Avelut and... Everybody ready for the bombshell? Sorry? Yes. Mm-hmm. Source number 6. Yesh mi sh'omer, this is the Shulchan Aruch, talking about Purim. Sh'onen mutar b'basar v'yayin. An onen eats meat and drinks wine on Purim. D'lo ati ase diyachid, for the individual command of Avelut, which he means in this case Aninut, v'dachi ase derabim d'oraita, cannot push off the communal commandment. D'oraita, everyone hears this? D'oraita, lismalach b'purim, the biblical obligation to celebrate on Purim. D'divrei kabbalah ninhu, divrei kabbalah doesn't mean what we call Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah means something that comes out of Navi, right? So you can't call it rabbinic. And in this case, the Shulchan Aruch says, Shehem k'divrei Torah. Everyone see this?
He seems to be going back on what you just said 2 sources ago.
Yeah, fair me'od. What did you say 2 sources ago?
That kol divrei avelut no'agim b'chanukah
b'purim. Avelut exists on Chanukah and Purim. We said that the nature of Simcha on Purim doesn't override Avelut, unlike D'oraita, Biblical, Chagim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, etc. However, with regards to Aninut, suddenly it's changed, and the Simcha of Purim overrides and pushes off the nature of Aninut. Whereas we'd said that Aninut could exist on other Chagim. Okay, just let's...
Why does he list it as a Yesh Mi She'omer?
Yom Tov is... That's all he writes. As in, he sometimes the Shulchan Aruch will write Yesh Mi She'omer and
not
quote...
That's not like the Kulam. Like, that's not...
Purim doesn't have the status.
Not when he writes... When that's the only thing he writes, then we assume that's his Psak.
And why would Aninut get pushed off, which is much more Chamor than Avelut, which doesn't get pushed off on Purim?
So let's just show just how strange this is. Everyone remember Rabbeinu Tam's sister? Who is Rabbeinu Tam's sister, and what is her claim to fame within the world of Aninut? Go on, Hebra. This was Shira number 2.
Hold on.
No? Somebody? When Rabbeinu Tam's sister passed away...
They didn't do any of
it. Let's look at the Rosh, source number 8. Sorry?
She wasn't married.
She was married. That's exactly the point. Source number 8.
Something about that.
Something what? Source number 8, over the page, here's the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, quoting the story of Rabbeinu Tam, which is brought in the Balei HaTosfot. Shenifterah achoto shel Rabbeinu Tam, when Rabbeinu Tam's sister passed away, hodiyu hu be'ir acheret, they let him know when he was elsewhere, different city. Va'achal, what did he do? Achal basar v'shata yayin, he ate meat and he drank wine. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam felt that the fact that he wasn't there, aninut didn't apply to him. He could eat meat and drink wine. V'natan tam l'dvarav, and he explained his reasoning as follows. D'kevan sheyesh labal shechayav b'kvurata. She was married. Her husband was going to be the one engaged in the kvura, in the burial. Eino asur b'achilat basar v'shtiyat yayin. He was not prohibited from eating meat, drinking wine. According to Rabbeinu Tam, what is the nature of aninut? What is it that causes a person to become an onen? Exactly, of the involvement in the burial. What does the Rosh say? Omilta de tmihai. Surprising, astounding, astonishing. The imken, because if this is so, lo yinhog ha'aninut, ela babanim v'lo ba'aviv, right? Aninut, in general, would only apply to sons, children, who are going to actually do the burial, not to parents, v'lo be'achav, and not to siblings. And obviously we know that that's not the case. According to the Rosh, the fact that it applies to everyone shows that regardless of one, if one is involved in the burial, even if one is elsewhere, aninut still applies to one. This is the basic machloket we saw about the nature of aninut. There are those who understand, like Rabbeinu Tam, that Aninut is to do with a technical involvement in the burial. Then there are those like the Rosh who understand that actually Aninut is this overwhelming, all-encompassing, complete change in one's state of mind, right? You might remember the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Kol Yemei Chayecha, right? We remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. We say Kriyat Shema all the days of one's life, which Rabbi Henon, remember the name of the Ramar and the Yerushalmi? Rav Bon. No? Rav Bon says, Kol Yemei Chayecha, Yamim Sha'atem Oskim B'Chayim, the days when you are involved with life. Lumat. Almost. Almost there. Days Sha'atem Oskim B'Meitim, days when you're involved with death, it doesn't. In other words, it's an all-encompassing thing, right? It's about the state of mind one is in. Go back to the Shulchan Aruch now, and tell me, who does the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like? In source number 5, with Shabbat and Yom Tov.
You are Osek B'Meit.
When you're Osek B'Meit, then Aninut applies. When you're not Osek B'Meit, so who's he paskening like?
Rabbeinu
Tam. Source number 6, Aninut on Purim. Fundamental contradiction with one another. Right? The two cannot exist in harmony with one another. The overarching nature of Aninut is pushed off by the powerful nature of Simcha on Purim. Who's he paskening like? Seemingly, the Rosh. Right? Aninut's not just a technicality which can slot in alongside Simcha of Purim. It's an all-encompassing state of mind. What are we to do? So, in the time that's left with us, what we're going to try and do is to draw a distinction between Aninut and Avelut on the one hand, and Purim and other Chagim on the other. Everybody with us so far? We've got now 3 questions. We've got Matanot Le'Avyonim versus Tzedakah. We've got Makdimin versus Ma'achrin. And we've got the seemingly contradictory position of the Shulchan Aruch with regards to Purim versus other Chagim with regards to Avelut and Aninut. What? A person who is an Aninut prior to burial, a person who is an Avel during their week of Shiva, is there a difference in the way in which the halakha understands their position? Here's a look at an interesting halakha, Gemara in Sanhedrin, which we've seen part of the sugya there in the past. With regards to Harugei Bet Din, people who are condemned to death, capital, cases for crimes they have committed, we read, Lo hayu mitablim. Their relatives do not sit Shiva for them. There is no Shiva observed for Harugei Bet Din. Aval onanin. But they are an onen, right? They are patur from mitzvot prior to burial. They don't eat meat. They don't drink wine. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam would presumably say. However, the Gemara goes on to give a language which doesn't sound very Rabbeinu Tam-esque. She'ein aninut ela belev. Aninut's of the heart. Aninut is something inside you. I can't command it one way or another. I can't stop somebody from feeling like an onan. Here's the Yad Rama, important Rishon. Ma tam onanin, what is the reason that they do observe aninut? She'ein anina ela belev. Because aninut only exists in the heart. Ve'ein adam yachol lichbosh et yitzro. A person can't override, can't conquer his natural inclination. She'lo yedavel krovo, he shouldn't feel deeply sore, sad at the loss of his relative, even if his relative was a criminal. Aninut appears to be an internal emotional idea that the halacha, it's almost not a halacha. The halacha withdraws itself, and this is what one does, right? One is overwhelmed by grief. Yeah, exactly. The halacha recognizes it comes from inside. Ein anina ela belev. Avelut, by contrast, will be seen as some sort of more external idea, right? Certain commands which are given to us. The chatan, a bridegroom, is exempt from kriyat shema on his wedding night. Gemara says, does this apply to an avel as well? Someone sitting shiva is also presumably overcome by tirda. Gemara says no. Here's Rashi, source number 11. Af al pishu chayav linhog avelut, Rashi in Masechet Sukkah. Even though an Avel is obligated to act like an Avel. Shel Ne'ila, Rechitza, Vesicha. It doesn't wear no shoes, doesn't anoint himself, doesn't luxuriate whilst washing. Obligated in these things, Laharot Kavod Meitot, to show honor to the deceased. Nevertheless, Eino Chayav Lehitzta'er, is not obligated to feel deeply pained. Avelut in Rashi's reading, the actions of Shiva, are about being commanded certain external things. It's not a command to feel desolate, to feel sad. Maybe you will as well, sure. But that's not the command of Avelut. And if it's an external command, then it understands why an Avel during the week of Shiva would still say Kriyat Shema, because he's not obligated to be overcome. And why also one wouldn't observe the week of Shiva, Avelut, for somebody put to death, because the Torah commands you to be an Avel, and sometimes it commands you not to be an Avel. It's an external command upon us, as opposed to Aninut, Ein Anina El Belev, it's an internal welling up of the feeling of tragedy of emotion at one's loss. Okay? Summary until now. Avelut comes from the outside. Aninut comes from the inside. Okay? Maishna, what's the difference between Purim and Adar Chagim? Here's a lovely piece of Rambam, which Rav Soloveitchik had very good eyesight with. Who's obligated in Mikra Megillah? Source number 12. Kriyat HaMegillah Bezmana. In its right time. Mitzvot Asei Midivrei Sofrim. Vahadvarim Yuduim Shehita Kanat Neviim. Right, institution of the prophets. Vahakol Chayavim B'Kriyata. Everybody is obligated to read Megillah. Anashim V'Nashim V'Geirim. Men, women, and converts. Why is that funny language?
Why would you assume that, converts?
As far as I know, any convert I have ever met is either a man or a woman. Right? Never met a convert who is not a man or a woman. Minastam. Well, okay. Well, even if I do meet somebody whose gender is not clear, what love doth for converts, right? Gemara recognizes the category of androgynous. Why on earth do I require a new individual obligation upon converts? Surely they should just be included on the general rubric of Anashim V'Nashim. Everyone see the question?
Yes.
So we can add this as now a fourth question. Why does the Rambam include Geirim? He does it with regards to similar mitzvot, such as Ner Chanukah, such as the four cups of wine on Leil HaSeder. Here's Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik in Masora, a publication of Reitz. Here is the sod, everybody. Here is the secret about to be revealed to you. Will change your understanding of Purim forever. But Tsarich Iyun, we need to examine the matter. Delama lo takana miyuchedet legeirim. Why should converts have their own establishment? We don't find such a thing with regards to converts on Chanukah and Purim. But Tzarech Lahavin, we need to understand, Maishna, Megillah, Miner Chanukah, or Mi'arba Kosot. What is the difference between Megillah and the four glasses of wine? Venire li, the Takanat Purim Shoneh Mishar Takanot Chazal. That the establishment of Purim differs fundamentally from other establishments of the sages. The Hatchalat HaYom Tov, because the beginning, the origin of the festival, Hayama Shanahagu Ba'atzmam, was the original spontaneous celebration by the Jews at the time of Purim. Al Kena Yehudim HaPrazim, right? You read Perek Tet, chapter 9 of the Megillah, nobody's telling them to celebrate, they are celebrating spontaneously of their own selves. And only afterwards, Ba Mordechai, did Mordechai come, V'kiyem aleihem ma shehachlu la'asot ba'atzmam, did Mordechai come and say, what you've done is great, now you need to do this every single year. But the origin of the festival began with an internal, spontaneous celebration. Now watch for Soloveitchik's clever idea. V'keim and the geirim lo hayu az, since future converts to Judaism were not part of the Jewish people at that point, and they didn't begin to enjoy the festival, were there not to be a special establishment on their behalf, who's to say they would have been obligated? In other words, Rav Soloveitchik says, what is the nature of Purim? We put ourselves back into the shoes of our ancestors who originally spontaneously celebrated Purim. And given that Gerim don't have ancestors in the same way that we do, they haven't got shoes to put themselves back into. Purim begins with an internal welling up, an internal expression of joy at the Chag, and that element maintains even into the contemporary celebration of Purim. By contrast, I won't read the sources now, the Sefer HaChinuch is well worth a read. By contrast, other Chagim can be understood as fundamentally having a nature of externally commanded. The Sefer HaChinuch says that Hashem thinks it's a good thing for mankind every so often to celebrate, to find time to relax, to find time to enjoy, and therefore he gives us the idea of Chagim. In other words, the idea comes from the outside, you should celebrate.
Chanukah is the exact same thing.
Where does Chanukah fit in? We hold, we can keep...
Is Chanukah the exact same idea that they did it first and then we celebrated afterwards because of the fact?
What they did it first? The celebration? Or are you talking about the Hadlakat Nevot? Hadlakat Nevot is presumably very much Chazal.
We don't,
on the contrary, we don't find anything in Sefer HaMakabim about Hadlakat Nevot. Right, it appears significantly later. So let's just summarize at this point. Purim comes from the inside. Other Chagim come from the outside. Aninut comes from the inside. Avelut comes from the outside. People beginning to see this now?
Aninut and Purim together.
See how this works? Now the Shulchan Aruch makes perfect sense. Avelut, which is an external obligation about feeling the tragedy, cannot exist with Simchat HaChag, the celebration on other festivals, which is another external commandment to tell us to celebrate. I can't be commanded at one and the same time externally by the Torah to celebrate and to feel sad. Ati asei derabim v'dachi asei deyachid. However, aninut, which is an internal feeling of tragedy, can exist on Chagim because it's an internal feeling and Simchat HaChag is an external commandment. With regards to Purim, it's precisely the opposite. With regards to Purim, Avelut, which is fundamentally an external command to observe certain things during Shiva, can exist with the Simcha of Purim, which is an internal welling up spontaneous celebration. But by contrast, Aninut and Purim cannot exist with one another. Because Aninut is the internal feeling of tragedy, and Purim is the internal expression of joy. Therefore, Ate Ase, the Rabim of Simchat Purim, and pushes off Aninut. People see the beauty of that? Two external commandments which contradict one another cannot exist with one another. Avelut with Simchat HaChag throughout the year. Halachic expressions cannot exist with one another. Aninut and Purim. However, an external can exist with an internal. Thus we have solved the Shulchan Aruch. And once I take this... coming back to that. And once I take this idea, I can also now answer my previous questions. With regards to Tisha B'Av and Hakel and Chagiga, etc., of course I can't perform the mitzvah early, because Od Lo Matas Man Chiyuvayu, it's not significant, right? It's not the Tisha B'Av on the 7th of Av. You have to wait to do it afterwards. But by contrast, with Purim, we put ourselves back into the shoes of our ancestors. It's not about fulfilling an external obligation. The time of the obligation hasn't arrived. It's about this much more spontaneous personal welling up, in which case the whole language of the time of the obligation hasn't arrived just isn't relevant. And now I can also go and solve the problem with Matanot Le'Avyonim and Tzedakah. Tzedakah, we said, has both a lower limit and an upper limit. Tzedakah has also got guidelines as to who one gives to. By contrast, Matanot Le'Avyonim, Kol Mi She'Poshet Yado Litol, anybody who sticks out their hand to give, we give to them without any limit, without any discrimination of who that we are. I would say as follows. Tzedakah, the obligation is that the ani, the poor person, needs to receive. So I need to ask, well, do you fit certain criteria? Or perhaps I've exhausted my obligation to give tzedakah. With regards to Matanot Le'Avyonim, the ani doesn't need to receive, I need to give. Here is the Ritva. Source number 16. Pirshu b'Yerushalmi shekol ha'poshet yado litol notnim lo. Anybody who sticks out their hand to give, we give to them. Lo mal shenotnim lo kol adam. We give to everybody. Ve'ein medaktekim. We don't check im hu ani, if he's poor or not. Ve'ra'ui liten lo, and if we should give to him. She'ein netin azu midin sadaka gredata. This idea of matanot levyonim is not about sadaka. Ela midin simcha. It is an expression of joy. Shehare af la'ashirim yesh lishloach manot. We give to the wealthy as well, mishloach manot. V'lefikach nahagu liten ma'ot purim l'goyim. V'afilu ashirim. We give matanot on Purim, monies on Purim to non-Jews, to the wealthy as well. It's an internal expression of our joy. Let's just finish with the Rambam. Kol sifrei hanavim v'kol haktuvim atidin libatel limot ha-Moshiach. When Moshiach comes, all of the post-Chumash books from Yehoshua onwards, libatel, are no longer going to exist. They'll no longer have their significance. Navi is so religiously significant in this world, in this dimension. Chutz mi Megillat Esther, with the exception of Megillat Esther, harehi kayemet kechamisha chumashei Torah, it continues to exist forever. Esther represents something fundamentally different from the rest of Tanakh, something eternal about it. If other Nevi'im are seen as God's word through the Navi to mankind, Bimot HaMashiach, that may well not be of the same significance. But Esther, which represents, on behalf of Am Yisrael, this internal acceptance of our Jewish identity upon us, that remains forever and ever. V'yatzvu b'tachtit ha'har, source number 17, they stood at the foot of the mountain. Amar Avidimi Barchama Barchasa Melamed, teach us. Shekafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Et Ahar Kegigit. God held the mountain above them at Har Sinai like a barrel. V'amar Lehem, and said to them, Im Atem Mekablim HaTorah Mutav, if you accept the Torah, great. V'im Lav, and if you don't, Shamta HeKvuratchem, here will be your burial place. Amar Rava, said Rava, Afal Pichem, even though this was so, Hador Kiblua Bimei Achashverosh. The true acceptance, the uncoerced acceptance of the Torah was in the days of Ahasuerus, when there was no external impediment, no external obvious, there was no splitting of the seas, there was no falling of the man, there was no fire at Har Sinai saying, obviously you have to believe. There were so many other reasons that the Jews' salvation could have been put down to, brilliant political maneuvering of Mordechai and Esther, etc. The fact that they nevertheless chose to use Purim as the moment to re-accept upon themselves their commitment to Torah and Mitzvot, to Jewish identity and history, that, says the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, is the true acceptance of the Torah. And so, to finish off, if all other Chagim throughout the year are this, Purim is this. If all other Chagim throughout the year come from the outside, Purim stems, emerges, wells up spontaneously from the inside. Thank you.